Pat Hyben and I wrote this awesome book called The Quitter's Manifesto, Quit the Job You Hate for the Work You Love. And if you think about what Brian just said, I think that's what we helped him with before we even wrote the book.
Welcome to the Action Academy Podcast.
Stand back while I celebrate freedom.
The show where we help you achieve financial independence with the mindsets, methods, and actionable steps from guests who've already earned their freedom.
The flags of freedom fly.
Choose to do what you want.
What you want.
With who you want.
With who you want.
When you want.
When you want.
With another episode today. Now, here's your host, Brian Lubin.
Timmy Road. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'll take all three.
Man, you are one of the people that have sincerely changed my life. I'm so serious. The gratitude that I have for you, you have fundamentally changed who I am as a human being. I'm not entirely sure if you know that. So I wanted to let you know that out the gate.
That starts the episode off on a good part. And let's take it from there and see where we can bring it. So that's great, man.
So let me paint a picture for all of you before we intro Tim here of two versions of me. So version one of me was very myopically focused on money and wealth generation and nose to the grindstone, very corporate, doing everything I could to work the extra 10, 20, 30 hours that I needed to make more money. I would sacrifice anything I needed to get to where I wanted to go. And I would sacrifice anyone. I would run over people. I'd run through people. I'm like, whatever I have to do to win, I'm winning. And then Tim changed my definition of what winning was. And so now being introduced to you and David and Pat and GoBundance, this has matured me, is a better way of putting it. This has matured me economically, of course, but also philosophically a lot. Mr. Tim Road, I'll let you introduce yourself to the people.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Brian. Pat Hyben and I wrote this awesome book called The Quitter's Manifesto, Quit the Job You Hate for the Work You Love. And if you think about what Brian just said, I think that's what we helped him with before we even wrote the book. And that was quitting his old incarnation of who he thought he should be. And whoever's listening to this, think of this for you. Everything that's brought you to this point is everything you've known, your parents, your teachers, your counselors, all the people that got in your dome and told you, this is who you're going to be. And I think what I was lucky with Brian was to get some time with him out in the boonies at some GoBundance events, talking about who are you really and why? And then we did some coaching, and I think it kind of helped change his direction. And I went through the same thing myself. Let me give you my quick background. Here, I was the kid in your class throwing spit wads at you and paying zero attention to anything the teacher said, because I just didn't understand why did I need to learn the periodic tables or things that I knew I'd never use. So I barely graduated high school. There's no way I was going to go to college. I couldn't sit still long enough. So I was a grocery clerk at 25 years old with two small kids and just barely making it. And then I found in the book, we talk about a trapeze to take you from one place to the next in your life. And the first trapeze for me was selling real estate. And it was the first time I ever put a key in the lock and it fit. And I felt like I was doing something that I was meant to do. So from 25 to 35, I love selling real estate. I woke up every single day with the song Welcome to the Jungle cranked and hit the office at 7 a.m. amped on coffee. Nah, you couldn't tell me no. And I was really good at it. I really cared about coming through for people. And if I put my sign in your yard, we were going to freaking sell. So during that time, really enjoyed it. And then around 35, and some of you can relate to this, it started oxidizing. The rust in my career what was so fun from 26 to 35, from 36, 37, 38, 39, it was like, I'm just not feeling this. And I had this conversation in my head of, what do you want to do if you don't want to do this? And it was, I never want to sell another house. I'm just sick of this. Whoa, what are you going to do? This is the conversation in my head. It was, Well, you flipped a home recently and that worked really well. What if you just never worked for anybody but you and you were your own best client? And so I went back and I was actually in Belize when I went through this thought process, went back, changed my whole team and wrote, and this is a huge part of all this, changing your identity. And I wrote, Tim is now an investor plan. And what's the outcome? What's the purpose? What's the action plan? Where are you going to find your deals? Where are you going to get your money? What are all the things that are going to make this from a dream to reality? So for the next, I quit working realistically at 40. And from like the year 2000 to 2007, I only represented myself. I only bought rentals, flipped houses. And that took me from 2000 to 2007. And right at the top of that market, I sold everything. And and sold 17 properties with 52 tenants. And the party was on. I never had to work again if I chose not to. And I went full circle of the kid in high school who never worked that hard. It was like, I'm spending the rest of my life being that person. And that's where I've been for, gosh, the last 20 years of my life. I have games. I can't invest in any real estate myself. I can't really work. And if this is working, then I'm working. But I played these games of, after I had made money to be exactly who I wanted to be, I got to spend the rest of my life helping people like Brian figure out, who in the heck are you want to be? And that's where my life changed for like the last 20 years. And I've really enjoyed it. So there's a lot to unpack there, but
yeah. To say the least. So first and foremost, one of the things that you exemplify the most, probably the person I think of when I think of this concept, is the concept of having an enough number, really. Especially with the pod that you were in, you were one of the three, and for people listening, Tim is one of the three original founders, and then Mike came too. So we'll call it four original founders of GoBundance. And so you were with David and Pat and Mike, and who were all very gung-ho towards growing the businesses, growing the portfolios, getting into the nine-figure range. And then for you, you were like, hey, I am good enough where I'm at. How did you do that? And where did you come up with the number to stick to?
And I just want to say that wasn't easy. When you meet David Osborne and he tells you, I will be a billionaire someday, and this is where my head's at, and this is where I'm going. And Pat Hyben, same thing. And Mike McCarthy, who we've all had very good lives outside of just making money, but they were way more money
aggressive.
Yeah. It's interesting because I came up with that before I met them. Mm-hmm. So when I met them in my mind, I knew who I was. My tagline is get the goods in the woods. And I want to spend a lot of time honoring who I've become. So like then 2004, when I met them, I knew I'm right in that phase of selling all those 17 properties with 52 tenants when I met them. And I was turning my boat, moving to the mountains, setting this next life. And I'm meeting them and they're going, we're building. And I'm like, that's not for me. I'm in a different place wanting different things. And my game was, could I ski 100 days a year? Could I go to the coast and get how many abalone could I fill up on my dive card? You could get 100 abalone a year and you could only get 4 a day and I got 88 in 1 year while I'm skiing 100 days a year and mountain biking and doing all the things that fulfill me. And by the way, while I'm doing all the quote, getting the goods in the woods, guess what I'm doing? I'm retooling in my brain of who am I going to be in the next incarnation? And I'm helping them become who they want to be, but I never lost sight of who I wanted to be. Number one, I will always get the goods. I will, as long as I'm on this earth, every single day, I'm going to go play. That's number one, because it makes me feel good and it juices me and it sets everything else up. Being a great family man, doing the things that are most important to me. Yeah, that's where I put my mindset, was living my truth, if you will. So while they were building, I was thinking about, I'm going to get the goods, but I'm also going to give back in a big way. And I'm also going to, I just looked out what was going on in the world and saw it was getting tougher and tougher for one to live what I always knew was the American dream. If you work hard, if you hustle, if you care about people and you show up every day and you work your butt off, you can freaking make it. So I wanted to, I had done this. I'd gone from that grocery or that kid in the back of the class with the spit wads to the grocery clerk to selling real estate to investing wisely to becoming financially free at 40. I knew it was possible to do it. And I wanted, it was like I'd seen Oz and I wanted to take others with me. Okay. And Brian, you saw me. We worked together for a year. With yeah. me just imparting all this wisdom on how it can be done. And it's been so fun to watch your journey.
So Tim, you saw me at my lowest too.
Yeah, I did.
You saw me at rock bottom. So that's what people, yeah. like that was before the show. The show was birthed at the end of 2021, which was the end yeah. of the year where I was like, what the hell is going on? Right. I had just left a huge job to go to a software job because I tell people it was like trading a drinking problem for a cocaine problem. So it's like I gave up drinking. I was like, all right, guys, I'm done drinking, but I'm picking up cocaine instead. And oh, yeah. wait, this is even worse. And then I was unemployed. And then I was like, Tim, help, please.
Yeah. And I remember that those calls and you were a lost soul. And that's part of it. Let's go back to the trapeze I talked about.
Yes.
Yeah. You fell off your freaking trapeze is what you let go and you were lost and you were spinning. And you were trying to figure out where am I going with it, all this. And by the way, I'm painting you a really beautiful picture of everything I went through. Do you think I didn't go through crap like that?
That's why I enjoy talking about it here for people yeah. listening, because I did everything that could go wrong, went wrong. For me, and I still made it out to the other side. But yeah. for me,
why do you think that is?
I can tell you why it is. And I know what it is in the book, and we're going to get into that. And I want to get the way that we're doing this is perfect because we're using real world examples that are used to bake into the concepts of the book. But my yeah. safety net for my trapeze, for me, that was when I was broke. Tim, I was at the lowest financial point I had ever been in my life because I had gone from a $200,000 a year job to failing for the first time at the new job and then unemployed and still living a lavish lifestyle. I was like, oh, here we go. I fell off my first trapeze, swinging from trapeze one to trapeze two. The safety net that caught me was my community. And that was you. And that was GoBundance. And that was my yeah. friends, my peers, my mentors. And my GoPod never stopped taking calls. Every single week I was on that call. Every single week I was investing in coaching. Every single week I was investing in GoBundance. And every single person just put the hand down and said, hey, bud, come on up. We've got you. Let's figure this thing out step by step. And something will happen. Tim, this was about, yeah, it was a little early. It was about July of last year. So in a year from then, I created this podcast, probably 5x'd my income. And now I am living and doing this interview from Croatia. Buy the damn book, people.
Yeah.
Before we even get into it. Let's
talk about, I want to reference the book. We talked about the bees and the nets. This, you're also talking about your quit team. And yes. in the book, by the way, the book is very tactical. Let me just say, it's The Quitter's Manifesto. It's going to be out on Amazon right away. You can get it at biggerpockets.com. /Quitter's Manifesto. It's available on Audible. It's a great book. Please give us a 5-star review. And we also have a coaching program at quittersplaybook.com is available. What I want to touch on, though, is you talked about the team around you that helped you from not letting you fail. And that's the quit team. And we have 4 people in that. There's the stakeholders, like your family and friends, the people that got your back and know you, and that's your pod in this case, is almost like your family, if you think about it. There's your partners, the people that are part that you're with all the time, and this is different for everybody. There's your mentors, and I was one that you went to and you leaned on, almost like your personal board of directors. And if you have the means, there's also coaching. And we talked about coaching for this. If you're that into this, maybe you want to take care of or take advantage of the Quitter's Playbook I talked about. And that's a coaching business that we have. So that's the quit team that helps you through this as you're going through it. And boy, it's not easy. And it doesn't happen overnight. And there's ups and downs.
I would say the stronger that your quit team is, the faster the process will be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because...
And how much you lean on them.
That's huge.
And I... Yeah.
Getting out of your own way.
Yeah. I always had David, Pat, Mike, all the people in my world, my mentors, my former coaches. I still have 2 coaches. I'm 62 years old and I have coaches. So...
Tim, I want to circle back to that really quick because that's an observation that I've had about you. For people listening, so we talk about peer groups, masterminds, go pods, quit teams on this podcast all the time. It's exceptionally important. It's one of the major keys to being not part of that 95% statistic that does not make it to the freaking mountaintop. So when you guys were listening to Tim before, when he was talking about this original pod that he created that became GoBundance 760 guys, it started with 4. And these other 3 guys were super intense and aggressive in what we call in the hunt. They were hunting. They were wanting to grow and build. And Tim said, I'm good. I know who I'm at. I know who I am. I know the value I bring to the table. Right now, this is not my focus, but this is my focus over here about getting the goods in the woods, playing, having fun, and having fulfillment in my life. And guess what? David, Pat, and Mike were missing the fulfillment part. So what I like about you as a case study is people listen to this show and they say, what kind of value can I bring to be with heavy hitters like that? Like, how can I join GoBundance? How can I join those mastermind groups where maybe I'm not a millionaire? Maybe I'm not worth 10 or 50 million like these guys. I'm like, find your thing. Because for you, I've talked to David, I've talked to Pat, I've talked to Mike. And all of them said the same thing. They said, I did not have fulfillment in my life until Tim Rope came along.
Wow. That's way cool. Yeah.
And so yeah, find your puzzle piece.
Yeah. And another piece of that is make sure you hold up your end of being in that pod. I hear so many say, my pod sucks. It's just, it's nowhere near as good. And there's guys that don't show up. They do this, they do that. Maybe it's you. Just saying. And I say that from love. I always made it a point to listen to David talking about KW and what's going on with Keller Williams and how he's starting private equity and doing all these things at a way bigger level than I ever dreamed, buying his first plane, stuff like that, Jeff. And I didn't want any of that stuff. It didn't interest me. It had nothing to do with my world, but I was always and always have been a great active listener and always cared about holding up my end of any freaking team I'm a part of. When it came time for them to share with what their hopes, what their dreams are, I'd really listen to how can I add to this and what might they be missing? And I'd always talk about, hey, what's going on with your family? What are you doing with that? When do you take walks with your wives? How are you helping them with their things? And just looking at what's missing where I can just say, hey guys, I love what you're doing over here, but perhaps over here, what have you thought about this and stuff? So I think they liked having me around, number one, for they knew I cared and actively listened. And number two, they knew I was going to take them on some wild freaking adventures. Yeah.
That's to say the least.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But that's a masterclass right now, people. For you listening, that's exactly what you got to do. In another podcast guest, I had Felipe Mejia. He said, what's the best way to attract that mastermind group, creating your own pod, how do you attract coaches, mentors, great partners? How do you find these people? And he said, people are asking the wrong question. People are all asking, how do I find that person? You be that person. Yeah. And then you attract.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you did.
Yeah. Another way I heard that is live in the question, not in the answer. And so many people think they're all that, if they will, and feel like you have to give knowledge and have to have the answers and stuff. And instead, perhaps you should be more curious about, I don't have the answers. I don't know Jack. And if you've lived a little, you realize the older you get, the more you realize I really don't have the answer. So I think that's just another piece of making sure you're holding up your end of all the teams and stuff. And I want to say one thing about this. People have a negative connotation of the word quitting. Yeah. And I never had that. I told you back when I was in high school, I realized this stuff they're teaching, I just don't think I'm going to use it. Basic English, all the basics, but trigonometry, all that crap. Come on, you guys.
Calculus.
Have you used any of that crap? I think it's more of a wherever you are, be there. And in this case, just having that place to go where you're holding up your end all day long can only serve you well.
Tim, that quote that you just said is one that you told me years ago, and it still sits with me. And it's still something I battle with, is being where my feet are. And you are the one that planted that seed in my head, and it's difficult. And I'm curious, because I asked Pat this question, and we'll air his answers after this. But I want to ask you the same question that I asked to Pat. And that is, for people that are in their W-2, I'm curious to hear your perspective. When you say be where your feet are, for me, in my experience, my perspective, I feel like because I was where my feet were in my W-2 and I was able to be damn good at that, then I was able to be able to take my foot off the gas a little bit because I systematized it and I was able to do more work in less time. So I had more time to focus on building that side thing, 20%, 30%, 50%, all the way up to getting to 100%. Curious about your perspective on that.
That's interesting, because I've watched you and I've watched so many in our world kind of as a mentor to a mentee, just watching you. And I've seen so many who, as an example, Derek Clifford's coming to mind. I went on a hike with him up in my neck of the woods, and he talked about, Tim, this is where I am, and I can do my job really quickly, and I'm very good at it. I don't like it anymore, and I want to get over here, but I'm fortunate. I make a lot of money. I can do things in a limited amount of time, and I can, just as you said, Brian, I can add more balls in to juggle and help me with using a trapeze to make my life better, my current job better, still produce, which you have to do or you're freaking gone. So he was crushing it, cutting his work time, juggling more balls over here, to where he finally let go of the trapeze. And boy, is that the scariest thing. And Brian, you've experienced this, and now you're on the other edge going, oh, yeah. But boy, is it scary.
Second trapeze was just as scary, Tim. Yeah. Like, even when I had the revenue coming in outside of my job, for people listening, I left my corporate job March 17th. And I remember that date because my pod told me, hey, you're out March 17th or else. Stop talking. Get to it.
That's what a good pod does, by the way.
Accountability.
Yeah.
And when I did that, I had a gap between March and July 6th where I was getting on a one-way flight. And for me, it was nerve-wracking because it's still a battle that I have getting out of the corporate mindset and getting into the mindset of having free time, having space, having creative work, stuff like that. So it's a process. And I want to circle back to something that you said about the quit team. And I want to put a pin in that and then move on to a couple of other tactics that you guys use while you're swinging from trapeze to get to the finish line here. And part of the way that I messed up the first time was creating a quit team of people that I was working with. That was a bad mistake because what ended up happening was, A, you have everyone just commiserating and complaining together. And it's just like that crab of buckets where
I was thinking of the crabs. Or them holding on to your ankles as you're climbing thinking,
up. Climbing up that bucket. And eventually word gets out. Someone say, hey, I hear you've been talking about possibly leaving. What? You're like, whoa, hold on a second. I told you that in confidence. I thought you were leaving with me. And then what they end up doing is taking that promotion instead. So that's a piece of advice I would probably give is finding some other people. So go over one more time so we could put a pin in it, the different people that you need for that quit team, because this is super important.
Yeah. First of all, is your stakeholders. This is your family, friends, all of those that depend on you, paycheck, and want to make sure that you're good. Number two is your partners. Number three is your mentors. And number four is your coaches. So those four.
Perfect. So as we're swinging from trapeze to trapeze, what are some other pieces of advice that you can give, especially for that mental battle for people? Because you open the book saying that 90% of this is a mental battle.
Right.
And people either jump off with their and build a parachute on the way down, or they try to figure it out a different way. So talk to those.
You're at a cliff, and that's the first place you're at is I'm about to jump off this cliff and leave this job. And it's scarier than heck. And that's why the book is all about tactical ways to make darn sure that you put all the pieces together and you don't just jump off the cliff and hope you build the plane. We help you build the plane as you go. So that's a huge piece of this book. And one of the tools that we use right up front is something called the soul sucking audit. And this is a piece of the book, how bad is it? And we say, if you're a 7, 8, 9, or 10 of the soul sucking audit versus being a 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, if you're on a 2 and you wake up saying, I hate what I do, then it's probably time to find your next incarnation. And Brian, I know you can relate to this. And that's where I was. That's where I was when I was selling real estate at 26 to 35. I loved it every day until I didn't. And something had flipped. And many of you reading this are flipped on you. And now it's scary and you're at that cliff. And what do you do? How do you grab that first trapeze that to help you carry to where you need to go? So that's not an easy thing to do, but that's what the book's all about. And by the way, that soul sucking audit, we measure 5 things to see if you're in the right place. Number one, am I being compensated fairly? Number two, is it respect by the and how I'm being treated, not just with money, but how they are treating you? Three is a fit. Is this a good fit for who I am and what I do? Number four is the whole management team. Is it a good fit? Do I fit in with the others that I work with? And number five, most importantly, how do I feel every day when I wake up? Do I want to go to work or do I not? And if you remember, at one point in my career, I cranked Welcome to the Jungle, just all excited. I can't wait to get to work.
And I did the same.
At the end, it was like, yeah. And at the end, I was like, oh, God, I'm sick of this shit. Yeah. And so, by the way, one really important thing, you, Brian, you have all these new tools that you didn't have before for when you make the next leap of your trapeze. You have your team, your quit team, all the knowledge, the money behind you, hopefully, all the things you didn't have before. you should have as you go through life. Because quitting, it never, there should, hopefully, you're not going to do the same thing from 20 to 30, 30 to 70.
Yes. Yeah.
You should be getting new tools to help you to go to the next incarnation.
Yeah, there's always different seasons in life. And so, yeah. So if you go back to a high school reunion and they say, hey, man, you haven't changed. That's a red flag, my friend. Yeah, you should probably look into that. But another thing that you said, so on those five parts of the soul sucking audit, so you're going to rate those 1 through 10, correct? Each category. Correct. Okay. Yeah. And then if you're at a seven, eight, nine, or 10.
If it's an 8, 9, or 10 and you find yourself, dude, you're in a great place. Enjoy it. You're so freaking fortunate. You're doing what you do. You're making money. You love the team. If you're 8, 9, 10, stick with it. 7's getting a little funky.
Dicey,
If you're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know. So.
And another part that I realized about that, I'll add one more part to the soul sucking audit first. And I'll say that a key indicator that I've used and I've seen to be true is look at your boss's boss. Mm. Is your boss's boss living a life that you are admiring? Or do you look at them and say, that doesn't look fun? Because that's what I did. I looked at I had my sales manager and I had my VP of the Southeast. And to grow in the company, in most corporate America, it was like they wanted to promote me to a sales manager and then promote me to a VP. And I looked at him and he was in his late 30s and he was not seeing his kids and he had young kids and he was never around. And it just seemed that he was just on calls 24/7. I remember whenever he visited the office, it was just miserable. I was like, I have more fun being a sales rep than you do. And you're not making that much more than me because it's just preferred options and shares and stock. So I'm like, maybe you're making $100,000 more, but is it worth it? And that was the moment where I was just like, I think it's time to go.
There's a page in the book. It's called More Pie. And you just described that guy. And yep. There's a joke in the attorney world. Everybody wants to become a partner. And yep. That's the whole Holy Grail is become a partner. And what do you get when you're the partner? More pie. And you don't get to go to your kids' parent teacher conference. You don't get to coach Little League. You don't get to do the things that make a life so wonderful. And that's a really good thought, that looking at your boss's boss, yeah. They got more pie.
Yeah. Congratulations. So, I won the pie contest and pie eating contest. Here's another one. Oh man, I love it. Tim, where do you see most people messing up and doing wrong?
We all get off track every now and then. You're going along, everything's fine, and something changes, and all of a sudden you look and you're off the trapeze. We all go through this, and I'll give you a great example of my life. So I talked about in 2007, I retired. I was not going to list and sell I was not going to invest in any more property. I was just going to have money coming in and I just do whatever I wanted to do. And boy, does that sound fun or what? So here I was, I actually was coaching real estate investors from my home, making $250 an hour, just throwing more income in and taking it easy. And the person I worked for was not reputable. They just, if you had a pulse and a credit card, they would have them coach with me. And I just didn't want to do it anymore. So I quit doing that in about 2011. And I was with my partners, David and Pat, going over my one sheet. And they noticed, like, I was making before, let's say $300,000, and I'm down, and I had a lot of rental properties and stuff. And if you don't weed your garden, sometimes it gets overgrown. And what was at one point like $20,000 a month income coming in was down to $12,000 a month. I was no longer coaching. And all of a sudden, I'm going over my numbers with my partners who are talking millions of dollars coming in every month. And I'm not even making hundreds of thousands. Matter of fact, I was living off, let's say, $15,000 a month. And my expenses were right around then, if not even slightly less. And to David, Pat, and Mike, this was just not acceptable. Tim, what are you going to do? Are you going to list and sell real estate? Are you going to go invest yourself? And I want to honor them as my mastermind buddies. But in my head, I'm just such a rebel. It's, no, I'm not going to list and sell real estate. No, I'm not going to invest myself. I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to solve this by going outside, hiking mountains, thinking things through. And I thought of, and I was talking before about having the right tools. I started thinking about, I used to coach real estate investors. I don't want to invest myself. What if I have somebody else do all of the work? Wait a minute. Andrew Cushman just bought an apartment complex. That dude is a freaking baller. You used to coach him. What if you have Andrew be the bird dog? He does all the work. David can qualify for the loans. Pat and I can sell. We'll start a syndicate. And in 2012, before we started GoBundance, we started a syndicate called DAP using Andrew Cushman. And if any of you guys know Andrew Cushman, this dude is a freaking baller. We bought 20 apartment complexes and I make millions of dollars now off this. And this is a great example for you of I fell off the trapeze when I had, quote, retired. And I had to solve it playing my game, doing things my way, honoring my partners. And it was like I hit that trapeze, but it didn't happen overnight. Then first we did one deal and the second deal wasn't quite as good. And then he hit his stride and now he's buying 2, 3, 4 complexes per year. And the rest is history. So my point is you don't always have all of the answers. And sometimes you fall off the trapeze yourself and you got to use your ingenuity. And I love this word, being a magician. I think that is who you become. Brian, think of this in your own life and all of you listening to this. Think of the times you've solved this where you fell off the trapeze, you were caught in a freaking net and you didn't know how you were going to get out of it. Think of the magician tools you use to fix it. And so many people don't fix it. They stay stuck in the net for 6 months, 7 years, the rest of their life. Maybe you got a divorce. Maybe you have a bad drug habit. There's something that is that you're still in the net and you got to pull yourself out of.
Man. Whew. I just let you talk, buddy. I just let you talk.
Yeah, I did.
Hey, it's better than anything I got to say here. Hit a little bit more. Let's go deeper on your process of getting out in the woods, because that is something that I'm starting to do. And then I'm about to do, I'm about to go to Austria and decompress a little bit. I'm going to go out in the woods. I don't need to go to a freaking nightclub or nothing. I just want to go out and get the goods. And so that's what I'm going to do, and do some journaling, do some meditating. Talk a little bit about getting out in the goods, getting out the goods in the woods whenever there's periods of friction, turmoil, and decision-making that needs to be done. What's your process for that?
It's funny because going back to the kid in school throwing spitwads. The other thing I did in the class was imagine myself. I grew up in the mountains where I still live, and I'd imagine myself running through the mountains and jumping off rocks and just being out there. So I always loved playing, if you will. And I always knew that was like a superpower or a secret weapon. So even when I was on the hamster wheel, like many of you are right now listening to this, and you're in the trenches and you got a lot of expectations of you. When I was there, people would say, Tim, how'd you get the goods then? I said, I would leave my office And all I had was a back alley. It was sucked. There was a fence. There was a building. And I would just walk that back alley. Maybe I'd prospect. Maybe I'd just get my thoughts. But to me, moving, getting my heart rate elevating, getting that blood flowing, it just made the thoughts in my mind work. So just as, and I'm giving you the worst example of when I had the least amount of that, but still made it as effective as I could. And then when I was 40 years old and I decided I was going to quit, I was not going to list and sell anymore. Tim, what are you going to do? I don't know. I'm going to get the answer. I know I'm going to flip homes. I know I'm going to figure stuff out, but I know a lot of my answers lie in the boonies. And the more I can get my heart rate elevated and feel good about myself, just like you talked about, Brian, journaling. I think I now have over 20 journals. David and Pat have like almost 100 journals. How many do you have now, Brian?
I have three.
I'm at 20. I started in my late 30s, but success leaves clues, you guys. If you don't have a journal, go buy one. Go get your heart rate elevated. Find, or maybe better advice for you, find where you find your happy place. Mine's heart rate elevated on a mountain. Some's the ocean. Some's a freaking glass of wine after the end of the day and you lose yourself in that. It's not seven glasses of wine. It's something that helps you tweak your mind and take you to that place. Maybe it's meditation. Maybe it's prayer. Whatever it is, be yourself. Develop your skills. Play your game. And I hope you've gotten that from this call with me. I know who I am, and I've known who I was since I was that kid in school. And I just, I've always played my game.
And it goes back to ancient history. What did the Greek philosophers do? Like they hiked, but they walked and they thought, they walked and they thought and they walked. And then you go, like you have Marcus Aurelius, meditations, all the Stoics. Then you have Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson. You have all the poets and the Stoics and all the great thinkers of time. Throughout centuries, what they do is they go out into the freaking woods and they just walk and they think. And that's where they get the answers.
And they certainly weren't on social media all the time wondering what everybody thinks. Their answers were found within themselves and their peer group and the people they respected. And I got to say, I hired my son, Chris Rode, this last year to work with me. And I've learned so much from him. He's 39 years old and he's the opposite of me. He's very quiet, very reflective. And I'm learning from him as we go because he is more and more reflective. And I want to be more like him, honestly.
Reflect? You're not reflective?
I think I'm active and I'm busy. You know what I mean? Yeah, just more movement oriented than let me get back to you. You know what I mean? Rather than action oriented.
So. Got it. I love it. So, my friend, let's plug the book one more time. Where can people get it? And what's it going to help them with? They're going to quit.
It's Quit the Job You Hate for the Work You Love. The Quitter's Manifesto. It's available on Amazon, Audible, biggerpockets.com/quitters. And for those that have interest in a coach, we have the Quitters Playbook, quittersplaybook.com.
I love it. Tim, thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for every call that you've had, for throwing the rope down. You've inspired me to throw the rope down doing this show, because before meeting you, I thought every single bit of information I got gave me such an edge over everyone else. And I was just going to hold it to my chest because I thought, oh, I'm going to win now. I've got access to all these guys. And then now I realize this is a superior way of doing it, to where every single time that I get, if I get off a call with somebody, even that I pay money for, and they tell me something interesting, I'm going to immediately post it out here for everyone else, throw that rope right back down. So
good to you, man.
Thank you for everything, man. I appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure, Brian. It's fun to watch you grow and keep on growing, young man.
Hey, that's what we do, man. We grow, we take action, we build a life we don't need a vacation from. So with that, this has been Tim Rode and Brian with the Action Academy podcast, quitting everything else besides the stuff that we love and signing off.